Ryan Friedman. Ryan is the head of multi-manager investments at Investec Wealth and Investment. Ryan Friedman, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
I am good. I'm very glad to be chatting to you. I've wanted to do so for a while. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of things, Ryan, I was just thinking, I don't know. I think there are certain jobs that take guts, and then there are certain jobs that take, like, guts turbocharged plus, and yours has to be one of those. Ryan, are you getting any sleep at all over the last, like, 3 weeks?
Look, our global markets have done for a fair amount of time, so you get used to it, but you need to keep up to date with what's going on in the world all the time. You know, people are very emotional about their money, and so they should be, and custodians of it's hard-earned money, and it's a very emotional job. It's a very difficult job, but one needs to be objective in order to make the right decision. So I think that's the premise under which we operate.
So talk to me about this animal called a multi-managed investment. And more specifically, I mean, many of our listeners, I'm sure, will have had seen their investments decimated over the past while. Are you actively going to be positioning yourselves in such a way as to take advantage of new opportunities that are going to arise?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's a fundamental principle of understanding investments, and looking to, get the best reward per unit of risk. Ultimately, I think, what happens is, you know, we've been in a market environment now where we've been exposed to an exogenous shock to markets, that have meant that we've, you know, had a sudden stop of economic activity globally. It's been brought on by a triple shock of both a demand and supply shock, you know, through economy shutting down, through businesses not operating. And then the additional positive supply shock of a price war between the Saudis and the Russians, that really had a significant effect on asset prices. So we saw global equities fall peak to trough around 35%. Certain regions like Europe and the UK were worse. Global listed property fell in excess of 40%. In that environment, one needs to take stock and understand what are asset class prices reflecting, how much have they priced in, and what are the opportunities at this point. So it's very important to understand where we are, what valuations are telling us. And, you know, the best gauge for prospective returns 10 years out is the price you pay for an asset today. And so if one assesses that a lot has been discounted in the price, then we can look to see where the opportunities lie. And there certainly are some at this point in time.
No, but it's an interesting question. I mean, does one, you once taken a knock on so many stocks, does one sit back, take the knock and wait for it to recover? Or does one take the knock and position oneself in stocks that one figures are going to benefit from the rebound that must happen whenever it does?
Yeah, that's the fundamental question, ultimately. We've taken the knock. Markets have repriced somewhat to the upside. But, you know, one needs to assess the situation at any given point in time. The worst thing one can do as an investor is to sell emotionally. We know that a lot of retail investors do this too often. They buy, you know, kind of at the top, and they sell when they just can't stand the pain of holding a stock that's fallen. So holding through the cycle is exceptionally important, but also having someone to understand and being able to analyze macroeconomic data and the effect it has on asset prices is a fundamental to our game, to understand where you want to be positioned and what is offering the best risk reward at that point in time.
I'm probably the very worst person on the planet to be talking to anybody knowledgeable about these things, because my knowledge comes from our Flipboard feed, which says, if you had $1,000 today to spend, go and buy Amazon or whatever it is, because these are the stocks that are going to explode in the new world that we are going to live in. Yeah, what do you do with people like me, Ryan, who invested in funds like yours?
Look, I think, Simon, one has to make a distinction between the economy and the stock market, and they're not the same thing. You know, economic fundamentals can diverge significantly from asset prices in the short term. And I think the best example we've seen of that is recently, as I said, asset prices drew down, risk assets defined by global equities, listed property, et cetera, drew down 35%+ in the recent crisis, and they've rebounded significantly. Now, they've rebounded into an environment where the economic data has just got worse. People are still dying as a result of COVID-19, but stock markets are going up. The stock market is a discounting machine. It looks forward to what might occur into the future and discounts cash flows or discounts scenarios and prices them in now. So one could have made the argument that when the stock market fell 35 odd percent, we weren't in a global recession, but the market discounted that. And we know that stock markets in general fall approximately a third if we move into a deep sort of recessionary environment. So the stock market discounted that up front. And now the market's rallied 25 or 30%. But the economic data, as I mentioned, has got worse. So it's very important principle to understand economic fundamentals and asset prices, listed asset prices, can diverge in the short term quite considerably. Over the long term, one would expect the stock market and the economy to be more correlated, but sentiment drives markets in the short term, business cycle in the medium term, and valuations ultimately win out over the long term.
Well, there's a lot to unpack in what you've just said. I'm going to re-listen to the podcast and go and do some homework. Ryan, taking a long-term view, how long is it going to take to for people to get back to where they were prior to COVID-19?
Possible that markets rebound quicker than people think. And once again, the reference of what's going on, of the economic reality on the ground, people losing their jobs, businesses folding, isn't necessarily the narrative for the stock market. So, you know, we are in an environment now where the market is starting to look through to next year's earnings, to growth and what might happen post COVID, to what might happen. I just see today, there's a potential new vaccine being touted. And, we might see the stock market recovering more orderly and more quickly than people give it credit for. So we think ultimately 6 to 12 months out, asset prices will be higher, risk asset prices will be higher. There's certain beneficiaries from what's going on. But ultimately, as we move into next year, and bear in mind that this is, as I mentioned earlier, an exogenous shock to markets. It's not an endogenous shock that a typical recession might be. Recessions are normal cyclical events that happen in markets, and they're healthy because they purge excesses from markets. So either markets go into recession because inflation is running too hot and the central bank raises rates, or there's a bursting of an asset bubble. That typically takes some time to work its way out of the system through a deleveraging process. Think about the global financial crisis of 2008. Today, it's an exogenous shock to markets, which is something like a pandemic or a war. And that is typically finite and shorter in its duration. And therefore, once this virus goes away or is dealt with through some remedies or a vaccine, we still have the benefit of the massive amounts of fiscal and monetary stimulus that have been pumped into the system by central banks and governments around the world. So we have an environment sometime into the future, and the market already is starting to price this in, whereby we are able to deal with the economic fallout because people get back to work, but we have a massively easy monetary environment and a lot of fiscal stimulus being pumped in by governments, which is a very good environment for equity markets, because typically that abundant liquidity finds its way into asset prices. So we're not massively bearish on the outlook over the next 6 to 12 months. We think the market's done a lot in the short term. It possibly consolidates in the short term or corrects a little bit. But we would think that over the next 6 to 12 months, asset prices are higher.
And that is exactly why I wanted to talk to you, because I had a feeling deep down inside that you were going to bring us some decent news in spite of all the doom and gloom. Ryan Friedman from Investec Wealth and Investment, thank you so much for talking to us on 101.9 High FM.
Thanks, Tom. Be well.